pay. Patty?
Yes, thank you. We have had training. We will have more training. I think postponing. We have spent more time this year on this issue than we have on issue of radio at this time. Continuing and postponing this until the June board meeting in the public, where I believe there should be debate. But I can see a circus being organized here. That it is important that we decide. We all know what we want to do here. I say we should vote and make a decision here so we can move on with the business of the foundation and not the business of inspecting each other. And I am concerned that this delay in another period of time till the board meeting is just going to delay this and make the whole board meeting in New York about this issue and not about radio, which is what we are. We are a network of radio stations, and I would like to get to the business of that. So I am not for postponing this. I am for voting tonight to rescind or not.
Lydia.
I'm sorry, did you say Lydia?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, now my reasons for wanting to postpone are others, and that's primarily that it will give us an opportunity to seek counsel now that we have corporate counsel. And I say that because, in fact, at KPFK, we had a training just yesterday by a facilitator who was also an attorney and drove home, not a new point, we've heard it from all the attorneys, that failure for the board or the station or management or whatever to deal with complaints and take them seriously works against us in court. If we do not take action, A, we have to have policies about these issues, and if we receive complaints and we do not act in some way, that is, you know, investigate it or deal with it in some formal way that can be documented, it's going to work against us every time we get sued because it establishes a pattern of dismissing allegations of racial or sexual discrimination in some way. I think it's a very serious issue in that regard. That is my primary motivation so that we can get adequate legal counsel as to what the guidelines would be before we even form such a committee. But I think the necessity has been driven home countless times by various attorneys and facilitators. So that would be my primary rationale for postponing.
Okay, just to note, we're now slightly over, a couple minutes over the first 15 minutes, but of course if we vote to postpone, then the 15 minutes that were allotted for nominations and election process are no longer an issue. So is there any objection to our using the remaining time for the entire item to continue to discuss whatever we have before us until we've exhausted the debate on the subject? Hearing no objection, we'll proceed that way. We have about 11 more minutes. The next question is LaVon.
Ken.
Okay. LaVon?
Yes. I think we should absolutely have ongoing training sessions on racism. But I don't like, again, the approach of this that has been put before us, and that I don't think that we have the expertise. And Dr. Better's presentation, which I certainly appreciated and praised at the time, certainly suggests, excuse me, my phone is going off. I don't think that this approach, because again, you know, as some people, as Teresa said, you know, we don't have a structure, we don't have costs, like any motion is supposed to come with the cost for doing this. We don't have that. We don't have any structure outline. So I think the person who initially raised this needs to take this back and give us an outline of what this is supposed to look like. And, you know, what is the cost, number one, for doing this? And I think I'm not sure the issue that Lydia raised, how this really applies to the issue of investigating PNB members and their racist remarks or actions. So I think that's outside of this purview. But I certainly appreciate getting the information. So, again, I think that I strongly support whatever the issue that we're supposed to be discussing now. and as far as New York, I hadn't spoken to Patty, but you know, I can see this as a circus, if we postpone resolving this evening. And I really would like to continue to have the training sessions on racism, and even in New York, and I would certainly support that, but I don't support, I can't really support it because I don't really know anything about it.
15 seconds.
No, I'm through. Thank you very much.
Two quick things. First of all, I'm going to ask, I can see how somebody might consider it defamatory to say that the objections or any discussion on this point at the meeting might be a circus. So if we could find a different way to express concern about the amount of time grief, whatever, that may come out of it. That's one thing, but I do think that phrasing is not optimal. Yes, Lisa, what's your point?
Can I just respond to that?
I was just going to say, that was going to be my point. I object to people referring to, the atmosphere in New York as a circus, or people raising their concerns about this issue as being circus-like. I think that is defamatory to them.
Okay. Yeah.
This is LaVarne. May I respond to that?
My position is,
I do think it would be a circus. So, that's just my position, and I'm sorry. Just like other people have a position, I do too, and that's what I think.
My position is
I'm going to call the member to order, LaVarne.
Point of information.
Please. No, I don't want to spend any more time on this.
Excuse me,
I've expressed,
Mr. Chair, might I?
You're out of order because I'm speaking, and I'll recognize you when I'm done.
Okay.
I'm going to ask that we please not spend any more time on it. The chair's ruled that referring to the expressions there as a circus is likely to offend some, and so I'm asking that you not do that. I'm not making any attribution towards your person.
Point of information.
Hang on, I'm going to recognize LaVarne's point of order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just ask that if you reprimand me in terms of speaking out, I wish you would do the other people who do that. So that's the only thing
I'm
asking for.
I am struggling as much as possible to be fair about this and keep the tenor of the discussion as cool and respectful as I can. And I apologize for any failures on my part in the area. I just want to say one thing about the motion comment that LaVarne raised about cost, et cetera. I want to point out that the coordinating committee will be meeting to discuss the scheduling of that meeting. And so one thing I might ask the maker of the motion is whether the specification of the all-day meeting, et cetera, could be removed from the motion. And we'll consider the coordinating committee's recommendations on that point, which presumably will include other things like cost that we can expend on it and the rest at our meeting next week. Would you mind not specifying all day, but having the motion specify after training, and then the coordinating committee can take up the question of duration and all the other issues associated with that?
How about no less than 5 hours?
Don White.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
If you want to do that, but we're going through the stack. I have Ray next.
Point of information. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, Teresa.
My point of information was: is the motion to postpone does that mandate more training on racism? And
right.
I'm not quite sure what you just did.
Okay.
It's like you put words in Rosalinda's mouth, so I'm not quite sure what the motion is right now.
Okay. My understanding is of the motion as framed says that we will not consider this item until after we have received the original proposal was a full day of anti-racism training. This is now, she's now said she's willing to make it after 5 hours of anti-racism training. I'm not clear in the original motion whether it was a combination calling for that training. In other words, does passing this imply that the board is approving training such anti-racism training at the New York meeting? Is that your intent?
Point of order.
Hang on, I'm asking, what was your intent, Rosalinda?
I was hoping that we would continue having education on this issue.
Okay, so you intended both things, it would be that approval of this motion would imply anti-racism training at the meeting,
right,
and that this would be taken up after that.
Right.
Okay. Yes, Ken, what's your point of order?
Mr. Chair, by
encouraging the maker of the motion to modify it according to your own preference. You're indulging in debate here, and it's the role of the chair not to do that. And I ask the chair to bring himself to order in that regard.
Sorry.
To explain, I was trying to aid in how we're going to...
Please don't respond to that.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what I agreed to, Dave, I did say that I would agree to no less than 5 hours.
I understand.
Okay,
This is Sandy.
Can I get on the stack?
Well,
yeah.
I've got Ray, Sarv, Alan, Ken, then I heard Ambrose and Sandy.
Patty asked me to make a comment.
Patty, you've already spoken on this issue, so I'm going to go down the rest of the list.
I'm not on the amendment.
All of this debate has been on the...
Yes.
On the motion to postpone, and I don't consider that the body has approved any such amendment, so I don't think there's an amendment before us just yet.
Point of information?
Yes.
How much time is left in this session, please?
Good point. We have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ray.
Yes, without defending motives, I can't help mentioning that some of the people who oppose this motion are some of the same people who voted against any kind of treaty. Specifically on the ground, partially of
Ray, this isn't on postponement. And,
okay, it just struck me. Couldn't help it.
Yeah,
anyway,
I suggest
I favor postponement on the grounds that these are serious discussions, and I think they warrant thorough face to face look at all this, and this is it. We should vote to. Postpone it until it can be done properly. Instead of 11:39 New York time.
Thank you very much, Sarv.
Mr. Chairman, I was stepped away just a little bit. Are we talking on the rescinding motion, or are we talking about postponement?
It's actually a dual motion. The motion calls for postponement and for the holding of anti-racism training at the board meeting.
Okay, I'm in favor of that. I think I am not into, and I'm sure most other directors are not in favor of polarization or divisiveness. And also we are aware that the racism or other prejudices that are embedded in our psyche over our lifetime, they do not get resolved in 1 3-hour session in one meeting. I think if there is an organization that need to address that and address that head on, that's Pacifica. And I think we have to continue with that training and education so that we don't have to deal with this one. The reason we are here discussing this one, because evidently there is a problem, and it is a very serious problem. And so... I think that education, probably, in my view, is the best thing to develop our sensitivity so that in future we'll never have to address this again, hopefully, and continue to learn. And I will do my best because I'm just like everybody else. I also have deep scars of prejudices. And sometimes somebody says something and it's not, and I take it in a very serious way. And they might not have said it in a bad
seconds.
Motive. And so I think our training and developing some sensitivity on the board members' part, I think we should continue at our meetings. And I'm in favor of have that education training in New York and also in addition to some other items and leave it to coordinating committee to allocate the time in a reasonable manner. Thank you.
Okay, we are now at time. We can either move to dispose of these motions, or we can entertain a motion to extend time.
I move to extend time by 5 minutes.
I'd like to suggest that 5 minutes will not exhaust the stack. So,
how many are point of information?
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people.
Mm. I'll do it 2 minutes each. That's 10 minutes.
A point of information?
Hang on, let me get that. With recognizing that, would you still like to move 5 minutes?
I I move to extend 10 minutes.
Okay, there's a motion to extend 10 minutes. Is there any objection to... Is there a second?
I second.
I second.
Is there any objection to 10 more minutes? Hearing none, we'll proceed for 10 more minutes. Okay.
Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Patty.
The substitute motion that calls for postponing vote to rescind and for board training, I mean, that you can have board training, you can rescind and have board training. I mean, there's no reason that these two things are married and that the rescinding cannot have board training. Is that correct? I mean, that could be a motion later. Is that correct or not?
This is a motion to postpone with an additional component that calls for us to do something. I'm not sure what you're asking as your point of information.
My point of I'm asking that, you know, this is not the only way to have board training is by postponing rescinding the motion. One can rescind the motion and propose another motion to have board training. Would that be in order also?
If you want to make a motion to divide when you're recognized for debate, you can do that. And that would separate the two items. Alan.
I really just have a bunch of questions here. Did Rosalinda or was it Mary from up in Berkeley who, is it in Rosalinda's motion that there'd be clarification in terms of composition and stuff like that? Or was I mistaken in thinking that?
No. I don't understand the question. Do you, Rosalinda?
To Rosalinda, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you understand the question, Rosalinda?
I think I do, and it was because I think a previous speaker who spoke against it spoke about that issue, and so, but that was not
that
in my
That's correct.
Motion.
Okay, thank you for that. That's right. Mary spoke before you, and you followed up on that. Right. And so that's in the motion, and I think that you keep forgetting that, David, as you're repeating it.
Yeah, what am I forgetting? I'm really getting foggy, so I apologize. What is it?
Rosalinda asked it to be reconsidered, but to be reconsidered after more training in New York, but to be reconsidered and that the people who put forward the proposal to make clear how it will be staffed, cost, other things like that that Mary had mentioned previous to when Rosalinda spoke on following Patty's initial request for rescinding.
I didn't hear that. I heard a motion to postpone the consideration of the motion to rescind until after a full day of board training at the New York PMB meeting. I didn't hear anything about the issue of composition of the how to constitute the committee. Am I wrong?
For that.
She didn't have it in her motion.
No, I'm sorry. I did not state that, but it's open.
Okay.
Okay. And then it was just in your preamble. It was in your preamble to the motion, not in the motion. Okay, that's what I needed for clarification. The other thing I want to know is David, how did we arrive at Shirley Betters, and who? What would be the process for determining who would be doing the training in New York?
The way we did that was the coordinating committee considered. Actually, we asked that the executive director take submissions of recommendations, and then the executive director made his recommendation to the coordinating committee. The coordinating committee approved that, and then we brought it to the board, and the board approved the coordinating committee's resolution. And the original source of Dr. Betters' recommendation did come from me. Does that answer your question?
In the same process we would expect would take place here were this motion to be adopted.
That would seem to be the default pathway, I would think.
Okay, I'm finished.
Ken.
The maker of this motion gracefully allowed it to be postponed until this meeting. I think it would be wrong to not allow it to be considered at this meeting. This is two meetings hence her notice, and I think it would be, personally, I think it would be sort of disrespectful not to allow it to be considered here. There's an old saying that you cannot legislate morality, and this seems to me an attempt to legislate morality to grant prosecutorial power to
Ken,
this board
is on
members.
Ken, that's a debate on the original point. We're talking about postponement now.
Okay. To postpone this issue, in my opinion, would be to neglect our obligation to immediately decide whether or not a prosecutorial power is merited by board members, some of whom have already established a pattern of abusing the limited powers they already have. Thank you.
Got that last one in there before I could object. Ambrose.
I am supporting the postponement only because of certain things. As I recall, we as a board in 2002 decided we should deal with racism within Pacifica. That I came on the board in 2004. I didn't even hear about what happened in 2002 until 2005. We finally took some action, and then we had this whole move for rescission without any suggestion for how we're going to be dealing with racism and sexism within and throughout Pacifica, and without any discussion of what a rescission would do in terms of a blot on the reputation of this corporation. It seems others are talking about the charge of the committee, the composition of the committee. Well, that's the role of the PNB to determine what its charge will be, what its composition will be, what its outer limits will be, what it can do. But when you talk about rescission, then I think it's a very serious matter. We've postponed acting on this since 2002. And we've already got one blot on our reputation now because we're about to lose FCC. So I don't see how we can do anything. The only reason I'm going for the postponement is because I think this is a serious matter that has to be dealt with by Pacific. We've delayed it too long. How we do
seconds.
It should be decided at New York.
Thank you.
Chair, could I be put on the staff?
Yep. I have Sandy.
Thank you, Dave. Am I on?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. We can hear you.
I would say this is a very delicate matter. Either way you look at this, to quote Paul Simon, you lose. You know, the business of the foundation is being partially neglected this whole meeting. If we were a broadcast, a radio program, we would be canceled after tonight, I think. I would say that we should take this matter into consideration this evening, that we don't have the power to form a panel of inquiry to investigate ourselves, and that our business is the business of the foundation. And it seems to me that we've gone off on a wild tangent here that
is
costing nothing but money.
Please stick to the motion to postpone.
Do not postpone. Vote on this tonight. Thank you.
Okay, Teresa.
I'm a member of a number of organizations, and one of them is the Center for the Healing of Racism. One of them is Southern Poverty Law Center. One of them is like the ACLU and the Sierra Club. I just don't think that they have inquiries.
Panels set up to
investigate.
Teresa, this
no,
is
just,
on whether
I'm saying
or not
I don't
to postpone.
Want it po- I do
whether
not,
or not
want,
to postpone.
I do not want it to be postponed. I don't think that we have. Well, I'm all for training. I don't think we need to have this. I think we can have training at any time without having this resolution. So I think this should be rescinded tonight, and we can still have training, and I've always been promoting training, and to suggest that if you're for training, then you're, if you don't want to rescind it, you're not for training, just does not make sense. And I just don't think that every organization that has a mission needs to have investigation as to whether their committees believe in the mission or are acting according to the mission. Thank you.
Patty.
Yes, well, I'm for this evening to make the vote to rescind or not. I think we've, again, we've spent the most of the year on this issue. We've spent a lot of money, and in fact, this ad hoc committee does not have all the qualities that is even necessary for an ad hoc committee as to how the people will be seated, and we don't have a financial impact statement, which could be costly if the five members have to fly around station to station and depose members of the
Patty,
you know,
this is not on the merits. This is on whether or not and why to postpone.
Okay, let's get this over with. Let's just move on and get to the business of the foundation as soon as possible, and we can have training too.
Okay. Having exhausted the stack and about to exhaust time, I do now want to say the issue.
I
understand the issue. We're at that now anyway. The issue, though, that I tried to raise before is the question of scheduling conflicts, because if you recall, when we originally scheduled the meeting, it was in part to allow Dr. Lawrence Lessig to be able to address the body. He is in New York. He will be in New York on other business and is available for 2 hours. My concern was an issue of scheduling, and so my request is that we allow the coordinating committee and anybody can speak to their representatives on that committee, try and deal with scheduling issues so that we do not, and so I'm asking whether we can defer the question of the amount of time until our meeting next week so that we can deal with all those different moving parts issues in the construction of the schedule. And that's my reason for asking. So, Rosalinda, may I have the consent of the board that we delay the decision of the duration until after we hear the recommendation of the coordinating committee at next week's meeting?
Upon information, Dave?
Yes, sir.
Is it just regarding the duration?
Yeah, the original motion said all day, a whole day of training. And I'm asking whether that portion of the motion can be considered after the coordinating committee makes its recommendations at next week's meeting.
But then I agreed to no less than 5 hours, that the training be no less than 5 hours.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah. Would you like to make that as an amendment?
Yes. I agreed. You had requested that, and so I agreed to that.
Okay. Is there any objection to our adopting such an amendment?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Teresa.
This is Teresa. I move to divide.
Okay. And you're dividing?
The request to postpone until June 2nd and the request for training on racism.
Point of order.
Okay. Yes, Ken?
Hasn't time been for debate been exhausted?
Yes.
That's what I heard you say, Mr. Chair. Therefore, a motion to divide is out of order.
Okay.
So we vote?
Well, we can vote now.
Okay.
So the first question is there any objection to the amendment of 5 hours?
A minimum of 5 hours.
A minimum
Not
of
just 5 hours.
Hours.
It's a minimum
of 5 hours. Okay. Hearing none, then that is what we're voting on. Can you please call the roll, Teresa, on the motion to postpone discussion of the committee until after we receive at least 5 hours of anti-racism training at the New York PMB meeting?
Okay. Right.
Point of information.
Yes, Don.
This is Don White. My event is over at the university, and I'm now on the line.
Well,
and I believe I know what we're voting on, so I won't ask for more clarity.
Okay.
I've been on the line for a little while. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. I believe you came on at 11:30 Eastern. The motion is to move to postpone until June 2nd, 2006 PMB meeting until after we've had at least 5 hours of training on racism. Correct. Serena Shakir is gone.
I believe it's anti-racism.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Or Madam Secretary? It's the motion to postpone rescinding the...
Until?
The committee.
It's
right.
To postpone consideration of the motion to rescind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Well. Thank you very much. So this would be Sarf?
Yes.
Rosalinda Palacios?
Yes.
Harry Berg?
Yes.
LaVarne Williams.
You know, I'm sorry, but could you just read the motion again? I mean, is this the original motion, or
no.
This has been
no?
It's been amended, or
it's been amended only in so it's the motion to postpone. It's been amended only in so far the motion to postpone and to have anti-racism training. It was amended to be at least 5 hours instead of all day.
Yes. So do we vote on the amendment? I'm sorry.
I
we're
asked
voting
if
on
there
now.
Was no objection, and there was none. So
okay, so the amendment to rescind, I'm sorry, and then after the 5 hours of training.
Yes. Amendment.
Let me just pass it while I think about that, and
okay.
I'll be back. Come back to me. Thank you.
Motion to postpone consideration of the motion to rescind until June 2nd, 2006 PNB meeting until training of no less than 5 hours on anti-racism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. Patty Heffley?
No.
Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Thank you. Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
Yes.
David Adelson? I'm sorry. Alan Minsky?
Pass.
Don White?
No.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
Teresa Allen is no. Sandy Weinman? Sandy Weinman?
No.
Ken Freeland?
No.
Deb Shafto?
No.
Rip Robbins?
I'll abstain.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
And LaVarne, you passed.
AC, yes.
Oh, you're back on.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had to pee. My phone ran out.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And our condolences about your loss.
Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
you hear that.
LaVarne Williams?
No.
And Alan Minsky, you?
I'm going to vote no.
Vote is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8, no.
Can't hear you.
It's
10,
8,
yes.
No.
10, 8.
8, so the motion carries. Okay, the next thing on our benighted agenda is Director Freeland's information and inspection request. Ken, do you want to state what your request was? Then we can have, actually, the ED has requested a ruling of the PMB. So you can state your request, and then I'd like the ED to state his request, and then I'll let each of you discuss, I'll recognize each of you to discuss rationale for your position on it and any details or background, and then we'll go to debate. The whole item we have 20 minutes for, so I suggest that the time be used as efficiently as possible. Go ahead, Ken.
What are you asking me to state right now, Dave?
What we're talking about is the status of your information or inspection request.
Now they have an agenda.
So if you can,
I can't hear you over whoever else is talking.
Yeah, we'll wait a second. Don, you're not muted yet. It's pound one. Don?
Yes.
Pound one if you need to talk to someone else. We're hearing your discussion.
Thanks. I didn't hear. I didn't know you could hear me.
Yeah, I understand. So what I'm asking, Ken, is that you repeat or let state what the information inspection request is, mm-hmm. and then the ED has asked for PNB input on this, and then we'll go to a discussion of it.
Okay, well... I'm not sure how long ago it was right now because I don't have my information in front of me, but I did a request of the general manager of KPFT to view the list of major donors to KPFT, a program that was started, I think, a little bit over a year ago. Essentially, that's it. I requested to know who is on our major donor list. That's the sum and substance of my request.
Okay, I think that there was one of the issues in that. It was a little more than that. It was also, I'll let the ED respond. Greg?
Yeah. It was on April 3rd, approximately, that Ken requested that Dwayne provide him with names, addresses, and donation history and contact information for all the donors to Kate.
Anybody else feeling a sense of deja vu?
Okay, we okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, that was on April 3rd. The request was made initially to Dwayne, and Dwayne referred it to me. My feeling was that, and Ken and I have had a little back and forth on this, as that this, according to some previous memoranda that I had from previous research on inspections, this was brought as a direct inspection request, was that this was potentially sensitive information that raised other concerns about privacy of donation information. I initially wasn't sure, and I'm still frankly not sure what the purpose of the request was, what the use of the information was intended. And because I was unsure of that, and also because I considered it sensitive and possibly precedent setting, I felt I needed to get some advice about it. I talked to attorneys, and I actually have summarized that to you all in a memo that I sent you just today. And they essentially confirm what it is that I suspected, which is that we have sort of rights in conflict. On the one hand, the right of inspectors to see information, and on the other hand, the right of donors to privacy. And also, the issue raised by the attorneys is that it depends on the nature and purpose of the request. And so I sent Ken a couple of letters on the 11th of April, one indicating that because of the nature of the request, I requested that he bring his action either to the coordinating committee or to the PNB, and also that he give me some idea or give you some idea of whether there was some wrongdoing or some other concern that he had which was motivating this request. I haven't received any more information about that. He's since raised a number of questions with me about whether anyone had been asked before to provide similar information, who the attorneys were, and that. I've answered some of these questions, and I've also now provided you with what I believe is a rationale for why you need to address the question of whether, in a global sense, you wish to have this type of information released without knowing the purpose of the release, and particularly having addresses, potentially telephone numbers and other personal information about donors released, because if this request is granted, others are sure to follow. I will follow your instructions. I certainly have my own opinion about it, but I've also offered a series of possible alternatives. If the information is needed to contact donors through the mail, that's easily done. We can provide access to a mailing house. We don't have to look at the nature of the communication. If there is potential wrongdoing, I could investigate it. We could have a third party investigate it. Or in the alternative, we could provide some of the information, that is to say, donations and donation history and names, but withhold addresses because we simply don't know what would become of the information once it was released. So I've offered those as potential alternative solutions. I think in the end, the board has to decide whether it wishes to have the names and addresses and other personal information about its donors released upon request.
Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Hang on just a second, Ambrose. So the agenda item is specifically noticed as the ED's request for PNB guidance. So can you clarify one more time, you were requesting of us what?
I'm asking you to establish a policy for the release of donor information. What donor information should be released and under what circumstances? I think that, you know, you could, for example, say that you would release it if you understood the purpose, or you could say you would release it But you would only release certain types of information, as I'm suggesting. You could say, well, whenever a director requests it, as Ken is suggesting, it's not my job to evaluate at all. It's simply my job to tell Dwayne, release it, and that's the end of it. It's your job to decide the policy for the release of the information that you hold. I don't hold the information, you do. I feel it would be irresponsible of me simply to respond to an individual's request, no matter who they are, without allowing this body to establish a reasonable policy which is going to be applied to all subsequent requests.
Okay. Yes,
may I now respond to that?
Sure.
I haven't had an opportunity to say anything more than the facts of the matter.
Yeah, okay. Since I said I'd let you do that, why don't you do that, and then I'll recognize Ambrose.
Okay. In the first place, much of what Greg has said here is pretty irrelevant because he's made a major misstatement that I need to correct immediately. I have never once requested, other than addresses, any contact information about any donors, okay? And I made it a point not to do that. I'm not interested in contacting donors. I'm interested in learning who they are and having a way of verifying that I'm getting the correct information. The reason I say the latter is because we've already done one of a kind of inspection regarding some other information from the general manager. The list that we were given of input regarding a programming decision from the members was redacted. We had no way of looking through it and figuring out how many of these were duplicates and how many of them were even real. We had no way of knowing any of that because all we saw was input. We did not see names and email addresses or anything that would give us a way of identifying and singling out one individual from another. So to avoid that problem in the future, I did request addresses, but I did not request contact information, and I'm not interested in contact information. I want to make that very clear from the beginning, and I've been misquoted about this several times now, and it's very frustrating to have taken the care not to request that information and then to be told that I requested it, but I have not. Okay? I would like to speak also to the issue of that Greg believes is a values conflict here between a right to privacy, a putative right to privacy, and a right of inspectors to inspect.
Directors to inspect,
I'm sorry. The right to privacy is not a right to privacy from the directors of the foundation. And to think that it is to suggest that somehow donor information is private when it is known to the entire management structure, but not private when it is known to the persons holding the highest fiduciary responsibility of the foundation. And that is nonsense to me. That's a very nonsensical argument, and I believe if we give into it now, we're going down a very slippery slope that will soon take us into legal hot water.
Okay, Ambrose?
Patty.
Mr. Chair, back in 1991, Pacifica Board passed a resolution, and a lot of stuff has been lost, but I've tried to reconstruct that resolution in its essence, because we were very concerned at that time that people were not, that people were asking every person that called their names, address, and very important information. And a lot of people that called in were saying, we want to make sure you don't give this information out. We always told them we would not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we passed a resolution. I think it was 91 or 92. And that was the rule in Pacifica that you simply don't give out any donor information unless you ask that donor and get that donor's written permission to do so. And what I tried to do is reconstruct this part, and I'm proposing a resolution. I make a motion that, except as required by law, all information concerning donors to any Pacifica units, including their names, the amount of their gifts and or contributions, shall be kept strictly confidential by Pacifica, its personnel, and or board members, unless permission is obtained from the donor to provide such information. That was pretty generally resolutions passed.
Before
that's just the board.
Before I ask for a second, I want to clarify, because I find something ambiguous in there, which is you do specify kept confidential by staff and board. So my question is, with respect to the item before us right now, is it relevant? In other words, would passage of this motion affect what's before us, since what we're talking about is director's ability to view that information, whereas your motion is about requiring such person to keep that information confidential?
If a board member wants that information, he or she should provide to the person who is keeping that information the request. That request should be made available to the donor and get the donor's permission before it's released.
Okay, well, I'll
The only exception would be, for example, the Internal Revenue Service. They could demand it.
Okay, I'm still a little unclear, but I'm going to ask for a second for the motion and any issues to
it.
I
seconded.
Okay, it's been seconded, so it's open for debate.
Can you repeat
the motion? Wait. Before we go to debate, can you repeat the motion one more time, Ambrose?
Okay. Send me an electronic version of it.
I think I sent it out earlier.
You did.
Yeah, I sent it out earlier. Yeah.
You sent it out.
Thank you.
Greg, can I get on back, please?
Greg. Yes, Greg.
Ken?
Yeah, I'd like to just clarify a couple points.
I'm asking for a rereading of it.
Oh, sorry.
Shall I read it?
Yes, please.
Except as required by law, all information concerning donors to any Pacifica units, including their names, the amount of their gifts, and or contributions, shall be kept strictly confidential by Pacifica, its personnel, and or board members unless permission is obtained from the donor or provide such information.
Okay. So
I'd like to get on the stack, Don White.
Okay, so I've heard... I've heard Greg, then Ken, then Don. Did I hear anyone else?
Patty was
called earlier.
Lydia.
Okay.
Lydia.
Bird.
Patty, AC, Lydia. Okay.
Ray, please.
Ray.
This is Bob. I have a point of information.
Yes. What's your point of information?
I'd like to ask if Dan Siegel is on the call with us.
No, not yet. No, he is not coming until executive session.
Hmm.
And one other point of information, can I ask at some point, can Greg address what policy he recommends that we adopt?
Yeah, I hope he's going to speak to that. Greg, though, I think it would be useful to have Dan present for this conversation. Is there any way that you could get him on the call?
Yes, I can. Let me just make my remark, and then I will call him immediately afterwards, if that's okay with you. To clarify, Ken asked, I agree that Ken did not ask for email and telephone number, although I would remind you that the information that's being requested is on the MEMSIS system, and so unless we are to reorganize it, whatever information is on that system is what is available. He asked for names, addresses, unredacted, and dates, contributions by date and amount. That's specifically what he wishes to have. So to clarify, no, he did not specifically request email information or telephone numbers. But I would like to say that this is not my argument. This is the argument of both Ernie that I consulted most recently and Kevin Fink, who provided an opinion to the corporation on April 20th of 2004. I'm not an attorney. I'm presenting to you the arguments that have been presented to me. And they make that argument for privacy, and they make that the argument that the purpose of the request is germane. So it's not an argument between me and Ken. It's an argument between Ken and whoever he's consulting with and the people I've consulted with. I'll go call Dan now.
Mr. Chair, this is Deb. I have to leave the meeting. I'm holding somebody in their office to use their phone. I'll try and listen as long as I can on the cell phone, and then I'll be home.
Okay.
Thank you, Deb.
Ken.
Well, Greg's discussion with the attorneys, there's an old saying, garbage in, garbage out. If you start out with the wrong information, the conclusions that you're going to reach are going to be no better than the premises that you began with.
I object to argument you're making. I find that a little bit disparaging.
Well, I would appreciate it if you would verse your argument in formal terms as well by asking for a point of order or something so that I can respond to it, because I think it's a very valid point. I don't know what you told the attorneys and what they may have taken as their premises in making drawing their conclusions. What you've said already has contained several misstatements, and I believe based on that, I might draw the same conclusions, okay?
And the motion before us is Ambrose's motion, so the comments now...
Okay, I don't understand how Ambrose's motion pertains to this subject. There's no question that board members are bound to confidentiality when reviewing confidential records, so I don't understand why that's pertinent to this issue.
Well...
Okay. Don?
Yeah, I would have difficulty supporting this motion because it seems to me that the finance committees of LSBs play an integral part in analyzing budgets and looking at the income and outgo. It seems as though this motion calls for confidentiality among people in the finance offices and people in management and so on, but I think it is somewhat of a slippery slope to suggest that people who are on the board and hold the licenses and are an integral part of overseeing finances and so on are somehow excluded. Now, I am sensitive to the argument that a director requesting such information must make it very clear.
Dan Siegel.
That they, oh, very good. You know, what the motive is and what the use is, but I somehow feel uncomfortable. It seems like we have actually been struggling to give to directors pretty much unfettered access to information of the foundation. So I would have to be convinced that this makes sense. And at the present time, my inclination is to vote against it.
Just so Dan Siegel's our attorney. He's just come on the line. Dan, you may know a little bit about the issue of Ken Freeland's inspection request to be able to look at high donors' names, amounts, and addresses, history of giving. Ambrose Lane has put forth a motion, and that's the motion before us now. Ambrose, can you read it for Dan's benefit?
Sure. This is an attempted recapture of a rule that was passed by Pacifica Board way back in 91 and 92. It reads, except as required by law, all information concerning donors to any Pacifica units, including their names, the amount of their gifts and or contributions, shall be kept strictly confidential by Pacifica, its personnel and or board members, unless permission is obtained from the donor to provide such information.
And, Ambrose, I think the ambiguity that Ken's referring to and that I maybe had was this question of what we mean when we're saying shall be kept confidential, because the question is, does that mean that neither personnel nor board members may have access to this information without the approval, without the written consent?
Donor's approval.
Okay,
because
so
the donor...
So when we say confidential, you mean that those people, the personnel and the board members, may not see that information without permission.
When we accept gifts from people on the telephone, and as we do these fund drives, so many people ask and tell you, we don't want this information shared with anybody. And we say, we're not going to share your information. We say, we're not going to sell your information. And we have always felt in Pacifica that that information should be only known to those people who are required to know it, unless the Internal Revenue Service demands it, unless for some reason there's a legal action and that information is demanded by legal action, you have to give it up. But otherwise, a donor's information, we've always felt, should be kept confidential without their permission.
But the way the motion's framed, it says that it'll be kept confidential by personnel and board members.
Correct.
So the question that I'm still, I feel that the language doesn't exactly specify access rights of personnel and board members. It says that personnel and board members cannot share it and must keep it confidential. But my question is whether it is intended to also apply to whether personnel and board members have access to that information themselves.
This is a very long debate without
people
being
recognized. I am trying to clarify something, and I'm going to call the member to order because I am trying as chair to understand what is before us and to clarify it for the board. I'm not trying to conduct debate on the merits of whether I agree or disagree. I'm trying to obtain clarity. So the question, Ambrose, is whether your intent is that this has to do with the access rights of personnel and board members.
I am, in terms of board members' access, I think it's been very clear when I was out there that I had no problem with board members having access to records. But it seems to me that donor records are special. And we've always told donors that their records were special and that we would protect their privacy. And we've had a rule in Pacifica at least since 1991 and 92 that we would not share that information except to those in the office who are required to do it. And so I have no problem with that at all. If a board member wants a batch of records on contributors, then the person in the office or whoever is assigned to deal with it should make that information known to the donors and get their permission to provide that information.
Okay, so I understand the intent, and I think other people understand the intent. The question of whether the language goes to that will, I assume, be worked out by the
information.
Well, we unfortunately have an attorney on board, and he can deal with that.
Okay.
He's on the phone.
Point of information.
Who's saying that?
Ken. This thing that Ambrose is reading from, is this something that has already been passed by the PNB, or is this something that's being proposed?
My understanding is that it was passed in the past, but we're unsure of its exact status, so Ambrose is asking essentially for affirmation. Is that correct, Ambrose?
That's it.
Patty, you're next on the stack.
Okay. The way I hear what Ambrose is saying gives the rights to the directors. And let me read again Article 12, Section 3, Director Inspection Rights. Every director or his or her designated agent shall have the absolute right at any reasonable time to inspect and copy all of the foundation's books, records, and documents of every kind and to inspect the physical properties of the foundation. And I stand by that, whether it's Mr. Freeland or it's me or it's somebody else. We are also bound by confidentiality. We are bound by law. We are bound by California Corporation Code. We are bound by all these things, and we can be removed if you do something bad with the information. However, that does not make it us, the board, to decide whether or not anyone has a right to examine any and all documents of the foundation. And I stand by that because we have been fighting for several years to have access to the books. And finally, we have access to the books, and this is going backwards now. and it cannot go backwards. It must go forwards. If Mr. Freeland does anything nefarious or shares the information past himself and other directors, as is in, even in the motion that Ambrose is stating, I believe that the motion that Ambrose is stating allows directors, the board, and employees, pertinent employees that need to access the information, the right to do so. We cannot restrict directors from looking at things that the common mail person or somebody inputting information that's taking a pledge is allowed to see, yet a director with fiduciary responsibility cannot see. This is outrageous, and it must be. I will vote against this. Director's rights, if he does anything, you just take the director out or file charges or police or whatever you want to do, but he must be allowed to see the information. He has said he's not contacting the people. He's looking for patterns, and that is absolutely fair.